From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled Gilgal, Godliness Before Service, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Judges chapter 7 and verse 20. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Gideon ordered his men to do two things. Covering up a torch in an earthen pitcher, he bade them, at an appointed signal, break the pitcher and let the light shine, and then sound with the trumpet, crying, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon! The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!" This is precisely what all Christians must do. First, you must shine. Break the pitcher which conceals your light. Throw aside the bushel which has been hiding your candle, and shine. Let your light shine before men. Let your good works be such that when men look upon you, they shall know that you have been with Jesus. Then there must be the sound, the blowing of the trumpet. There must be active exertions for the ingathering of sinners by proclaiming Christ crucified. Take the gospel to them. Carry it to their door. Put it in their way. Do not suffer them to escape it. Blow the trumpet right against their ears. Remember that the true war cry of the church is Gideon's watchword, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. God must do it. It is His own work. But we are not to be idle. Instrumentality is to be used. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. If we only cry, "The sword of the Lord," we shall be guilty of an idle presumption. And if we shout, "The sword of Gideon," alone, we shall manifest idolatrous reliance upon an arm of flesh. We must blend the two in practical harmony. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. We can do nothing of ourselves, but we can do everything by the help of our God. Let us therefore, in His name, determine to go out personally and serve with our flaming torch of holy example and with our trumpet tones of earnest declaration and testimony. And God shall be with us, and Midian shall be put to confusion, and the Lord of hosts shall reign forever and ever.
To win the prize and sail through bloody seas. Sure I must fight if I would reign in Greece, my courage hoard. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain supported by thy word. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I surely would serve him till I die. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I surely would serve him till I die. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for me, shall I am on the battlefield for me, and I promised him that I should serve him till I die.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. In chapter 5 of the book of Joshua, we find the children of Israel now encamped inside the land of Canaan, the promised land for which they had so eagerly awaited. Before the conquest began, however, Joshua did something that would have appeared entirely out of place in preparing for war. At the Lord's command, he reinstituted the rite of circumcision there at Gilgal. The generation born during the 40 years' wilderness wandering had not been circumcised. Yet this was a covenant obligation which God had given to Abraham, that which was the identifying mark of the nation of Israel. It represented consecration to the Lord. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will draw some important parallels between the resumption of circumcision and the necessary preparation every child of God must undertake if he would serve the Lord. As we'll see, by this act, God's people renewed their covenant commitment to Jehovah. Now to introduce Gilgal, Godliness Before Service, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're reading in God's Word in the book of Joshua. We have reached chapter 5 of Joshua and verse 2. Joshua chapter 5, verse 2. We're reading through the section to verse 9. There are three tremendously significant things took place between the time that Israel crossed the Jordan, got into Canaan, and the time she actually launched her assault on the city of Jericho. We're going to be looking at the first of those three very significant happenings. Joshua chapter 2 or 5, verse 2 to verse 9. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt, that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these verses from his own inspired and precious word for his name's sake. Joshua's first action inside the land of Canaan was to reinstitute among the Israelites the rite of circumcision. The practice had fallen into disuse during the 40-year wandering in the wilderness, possibly, as John Calvin held, as part of God's judgment on the nation because of its sin in not entering the promised land at Kadesh Barnea when he so commanded them. However that may be, the practice was in disuse. Now that they had entered Canaan, Joshua could not allow that situation to continue. If you read any Bible dictionary on the subject of circumcision, they will go to great pains to point out that this was a practice that was carried on in many lands, including the Egyptians, among the Egyptians. What they do not tell you is that their information, certainly as far as Egypt's concerned, relates to a time much later than the institution of this practice among the Israelites. Secondly, they do not, while they may tell it, they do not highlight it, that it is intrinsically a very different practice. That the Israelites' practice was unique. And that's because it was no mere human invention, but it was given, according to Genesis 17, as a divine institution by the Lord directly to Abraham and to his seed. The Lord made it clear that this rite was the seal of his covenant, the mark in their flesh that Abraham and his children were God's people in a very peculiar way. That mark proclaimed their moral, national, and spiritual separation unto God. It was a cutting away of the flesh. The spiritual significance of that, Paul tells us, was a putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. And Moses tells us that it was a consecration in love unto the Lord. Now that was the significance of the rite as originally given. So it was highly fitting and also tremendously significant that on entering the land of Israel's promised possession, Joshua should reintroduce the rite of circumcision. In doing so, he taught the Israelites many important lessons. And those lessons are as real, as compelling, and as fresh to us today in New Testament Christianity as they were to the Israelites in the days of Joshua. So today I want to isolate one very simple fact from Joshua chapter 5. And I want us to concentrate on this one fact, that Joshua circumcised the children of Israel as soon as they entered the land of Canaan to enable them to live without hindrance in the fellowship and in the service of the Lord. Now that is the fact that this passage of Scripture is setting before us. And it's a fact from which we deduce a truth of fundamental and ageless importance. And it's this. What we learn in one nutshell. Now the nutshell is going to be broken, believe me. And I will not be preaching in the nutshell this morning. Don't think that the service will be over in 5 minutes. Unless the Lord sends some great catastrophe, that will not be. But the nutshell that I want you to grasp and understand the great spiritual truth of this is very simple. Personal godliness is the necessary condition of all Christian living and of all Christian service. Personal godliness is the condition of all Christian living and of all Christian service. There was much to be done in the land of Canaan. The Israelites had just crossed the Jordan. There was the land of their promised possession. There were plans to be made. There were battles to be fought. There were enemies to be defeated. There were dangers to be faced. Things that were urgent had to be done. But before they could launch forth into the arena of public service, they had to get their personal lives right. And their relationship with God had to be reestablished on the firmest and most scriptural of basis. In other words, personal godliness had to be the forerunner and the condition of everything else they were ever going to do in the land. That's the great lesson of the portion we read this morning. I want us to look at this portion and the truth that it presents as it teaches us and proclaims four different things. First of all, when Joshua reinstituted this rite of circumcision, showing them that godliness had to precede all their other service, he proclaimed to them the renewal of their covenant with God. Circumcision, as I've said, was the divinely given sign and seal of the covenant. Genesis 17:11, at the very institution of the rite, the Lord said, "It shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you." The New Testament interpretation of that, in one of the most fundamental and far-reaching discussions of the subject in Romans chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, "He," that is Abraham, "received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, being yet uncircumcised." A seal and a sign of faith. That was the meaning of circumcision. In fact, Stephen even calls it by the name the covenant in Acts chapter 7 and verse 8. He says, "God gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision." Now, we've got to grasp that if we're going to understand the full meaning of Joshua chapter 5. Circumcision proclaimed Israel to be the covenant people of God. In other words, it proclaimed that God had bound himself to do certain things for them and to be certain things in relation to them. It also proclaimed that they had undertaken what we will see is called the bond of the covenant. They undertook to be faithful to their God, to walk in humble obedience to their God, to glorify their God by personal holiness, as they walked in the light of his word. Now, for many years, Israel had forgotten much of that covenant. Like too many people, they wanted all the benefits of the covenant, but they were not too interested in the obligations of the covenant. And that's why, on entering the land, Joshua recognized, if this people was ever to enter into its possession, if the Israelites were ever to defeat their strong enemies, if they were ever to resist the snares of heathen religions set like so many traps all around about them, they must walk constantly in the light of their covenant with God. And that is why he reinstituted the rite of circumcision. We could apply to this the words that I've made passing reference to from Ezekiel 20, verse 37, where the Lord, speaking of Israel in another day, said, "I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." That's exactly what the Lord was doing when he, through Joshua, reinstituted circumcision in Joshua chapter 5 at this place called Gilgal. He was counting them again as a shepherd would make his sheep pass under the rod. He was counting them his people. But he was saying, "If I count you my people, then understand this, the covenant is to be reinstituted. I will bring you under the bond of the covenant." Now, the lesson of all this is clear to the people of God today. We are his people. It hath pleased the Lord to make us his people. The New Testament church is specifically termed by the apostle the Israel of God. And as God's people, his people within the covenant of grace, we have received from Him, first of all, the gift of His Son. Secondly, we have received all spiritual blessings and benefits in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We are told again that He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So as God's people, we have entered into God's covenant. And in that covenant of grace, through the merits of Christ, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And in that covenant, God has bound Himself to us. This is one of the majestic truths about covenant theology. And I don't use covenant theology as a term of human interpretation of Scripture. I use it in the biblical sense that God has revealed Himself always to His people in an unfolding of the covenant of grace. That's the great key to Scripture. God has always revealed Himself in an unfolding of the covenant of grace. He has never revealed Himself to His people after the fall apart from the covenant of grace, apart from Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.